You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
For the scripture reading, it's in Revelation today, chapter 8, verses 7 through 13. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers, and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of the waters, because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars. So as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to sound. And Father God, we just ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' sake, name we pray, and for his sake, amen.
Let's begin with a word of prayer. Our God and Father, we thank thee once again for this time we have together to open the scriptures and read the holy word of God. We ask, Lord, that your spirit would anoint our minds to understand the deep things of thy word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, we've been looking at the book of Revelation. This is part 15. Can you believe it? Part 15. And we're really only getting up to around about chapter 8 and chapter 9. So, nonetheless, we are learning a lot. I thought, just as I start, I have been reading this book here, which is the Fire That Consumes by Edward William Fudge. He was a traditional believer in hell, fire, and so on, and he's basically come to the same position I have. And I've been reading a lot of books to find out what's out there, and this seems to be the best one. I've read three quarters of it. I'm up to about page 240. And actually, that's the biblical part of it, and the rest of it talks about history and who believed that, this, whatever. But it's very well written. It's in the third edition now, and I would definitely recommend it. It's a very, very good book on this particular subject. And it's interesting to see what he says, because some of the conclusions that I've come to are the same as what you'll find in here, many passages. Okay, so last time we were looking at some interesting ideas relating to the seals, the trumpets, and the vials. And this is sort of like a summary of some of the ideas we looked at last time concerning silence, and that it's expecting something very big to occur. And you find that throughout the scriptures. And these spirits before the throne are most likely the elect angels. The prayers of the saints are answered in the trumpet judgment. So that's another interesting fact about what's going on with the trumpet judgments. They have to do with the fact of saints who have been martyred and vengeance on their stead. And you'll find that these trumpet judgments come about. But they are not totally complete in their judgment on the earth. And you see this because the word third comes up over and over and over again. And then when you come to the vials, they're far more complete. So God is still holding back on full judgment on the earth. But this is bad enough. Man, the stuff that goes on with the trumpets is really bad. And this business of Egypt. Egypt is massive in the Bible. It's one of the things I've really noticed about Egypt. Egypt is a very, very important nation biblically. And how Israel came out of Egypt and the judgments that took place on Egypt are actually answered again in the book of Revelation, how there's judgments on the earth. So Egypt is like a picture of the world. And so we went through some stuff out of Bullinger's work, actually. Bullinger, he wrote a commentary on the book of Revelation called The Apocalypse, and he did a big study on some of these ideas to do with silence. And Lamentations, for example, comes up with the idea of silence, good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Isn't it interesting? Paul says that you should study to be quiet. You know, you study to be quiet. Some people study so that they can perhaps put people down and use the word of God to thump people down into submission. They use the scriptures in the wrong way. You know, their knowledge they use as some kind of weapon for their flesh, in a fleshly way. We're not saying that you shouldn't be bold. Of course you should be bold and you should stand up for what's right. But you should also be careful not to use the scriptures to just simply thrash someone and walk away feeling like you're something big and you've done something big and bold before God. Rather, it's just a fleshly act. So we looked at some of these ideas and this idea of the seven spirits and how important they are, and that Paul also refers to the throne room. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angel. Isn't it interesting how he talks about the elect angels there in the same breath as God, Jesus Christ? You find the elect angels. And it would seem quite possible that he has the same view as John as far as the throne room. Down here, you find Revelation 1:4-5. To the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. And this idea of the spirits being before the throne is interesting, because in the scriptures you don't only see the throne, you also see the temple. And as it says here in Zechariah 6:13, and shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne. A priest upon his throne. While the priest works in the temple. And so you see this very, very emphatically given by John, that the throne room is set in temple precincts. So it's a very interesting thing when you think about God, where he is, the nature of God, and the fact that anything that he wants to say to us about himself must be a condescension. You know, how? It's just ridiculous to try and work this out, isn't it? You try and work out God. You know, for the human mind, it's just way too big. Too big a project for our limited mind to try and comprehend. I mean, okay, so God was never created. Right. He was never created. Well, it has to be. If someone created God, then that someone must be God, right? And that, well, so therefore he wasn't God. But we're talking about God. So you get into this contradiction if you ever try and think about the beginning of God. But without a beginning to God, your mind just doesn't quite grasp it. You can't quite get it. Always been there. Always there. How? Well, he's God. Yeah. So separate subject. When you talk about God, you're talking about something that we cannot quite get as created beings. Can't do it. I can't. Maybe you can. Let me know afterwards if you can get it. Because I can't get it. Not completely. I simply have to accept by faith there's a certain logic that comes to it. You know, there's a logic that says that from our own knowledge of how things are, that some person of great power must have created all this. Yep, got that. I can see that. Then the immensity of the creative power must mean that God is the most appropriate name for this being. Then that being was never created, so always was. Yeah, always was. Cutting the end, for me, I can't quite go further. I can't quite get it, you know. So that's just an admission of a human being. I definitely believe there is a God. I definitely believe we are created. I definitely believe that there's going to be a time when we're going to face God, and that all those people who reject God and point their finger at him and blame him and say nasty things about him, etc., etc., they're going to face God on this. I believe that. Egypt. Micah 7:15 says this, according to the days of thy coming out of the land of Egypt, will I show unto him marvelous things. According to the days of thy coming out of the land of Egypt, will I show unto him marvelous things. Yeah, it's going to happen. The whole business of coming out of Egypt is a rehearsal of great things that are to come. The trumpets are fiery. That's the first thing. They're fiery. Why? Because they originate out of the temple and the altar and the prayers of the saints. So you find that these are certainly fiery in their nature. You come right down to the fourth trumpet. Third part of the sun, moon and stars darken. Third part of the day and night effect. Third. All the way through. Third. Okay? And so when you look at Egypt, what do you find? You find these tremendous judgments that come on the earth and the earth around Egypt, I should say. The vials are mentioned here. Phiale is the Greek name for them, and they are much more complete. Coming back to this idea of Israel, again, coming out of Egypt and the place that Egypt has in the scriptures in relationship to the second coming, the Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. Now, if you just read that without any context, you miss what the context and the point of this is. In his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say. They shall no more say this. The Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But the Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and from all countries which I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. So Israel does it today. Even those Israelites who perhaps are living in this country, they will rehearse what happened to them when their forefathers came out of Egypt. Okay, but that's not going to happen one day. It's not going to happen. But what they will say is, but the Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house out of the north country. Just as it happened from Egypt, so it will happen in a far greater way from the north country and from all around the world. They're going to be drawn back into the land of Egypt. Quite an interesting passage. Because the Lord our righteousness is going to relate to the Messiah. He is the one who is their hope in the end. So, yeah. Yeah. No, what I'm saying here. Oh, yeah. Shall dwell in their own land. Yeah, meaning into. Did I say Egypt?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, I must have said that by mistake. So shall dwell in their own land, meaning into Israel. But they, just as they were brought up out of the land of Egypt, and that was a momentous thing, so they will be brought out of all the nations around about, around the world, into their own land, into Israel proper. So I may have said Egypt by mistake. Okay, cool. Now, today, trumpets, vials, great passages here to do with trumpets and the vials. And there's a great line up here. On the earth, fire, on the earth, grievous sore. So what this is doing is basically showing you a parallel between the trumpets and the vials, and how the trumpets, which are sort of a third, right, and they relate to a partial judgment, which relates to the prayers of the saints, the fiery judgments. But the vials are far more invasive and complete and far more of a big hit on the earth than the trumpet judgments. Interesting thing about the word third, biggest occurrence in Revelation is in chapter 8, okay, the third, which relates to these trumpets. And then if you look at the word third throughout the book of Revelation, you can see a big spike here. And notice the word third as it appears right through the Old Testament. Revelation is a big hit on this word third. And in the Old Testament, you find, especially in the book of Ezekiel, things which really look like what we find John saying in Revelation. A third part of thee shall die with the pestilence, and with famine shall they be consumed in the midst of thee, and a third part shall fall by the sword round about thee, and I will scatter a third part into the winds, and I will draw out a sword after them. Yeah, so a similar kind of idea. Judgment coming on the earth. Israel's certainly going to be judged, and she's going to be whacked. She's going to be hit because of her transgressions, but she will come through finally. Whom the God loveth, he chasteneth. And if we go now to the book of Revelation, let's see if we can make a little bit of progress in it. In Revelation 8 and verse 10, it says, "And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters." So the waters are going to be hit hard with this. And you notice it says third part of the rivers. And before that, it says a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. So, you know, exactly what this star is, we don't know any more than what's written here. But some sort of heavenly object coming onto the earth comes and hits these waters and does a tremendous job on them. And it says in verse 11, "And the name of the star is called Wormwood." Now, wormwood is this herbaceous thing here. That's a picture of wormwood. And the English word wormwood gets its name because people used to use this in small doses to treat intestinal worms. And that would kill out the intestinal worms, and so we get the word wormwood. But the point about this wormwood is that it is bitter, extremely bitter. And it says here, "And the name of the star is called Wormwood." Okay, this star that falls. "And the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter." It's not because the herbaceous plant was put into the water. No, it's called wormwood because it's bitter. And whatever this chemical finally is, it's pretty deadly. Okay? Men died of the waters because they were made bitter. How important is water to us? It's massively important, isn't it? Man, without clean water, you're just done for. In New Zealand, we used to go camping a lot, and we always used to get a camping place where there was clean water. That was one of the main things you'd want to do. And fortunately for New Zealand, a lot of the waterways are clean. You can, in many places, you can just drink the water. I remember going to one place in an area called the Coromandel. The Coromandel is just a reserve area. It's beautiful. And you could go in there with your backpack, and you don't have to take water with you, because the waterways are clean, and you could just stop by a brook and get your water and drink it straight. Man, the stuff is crystal. Have you ever been on top of a sort of like a mountain area? Well, not quite a mountain, maybe a cliff top, and look down to water below you, and it's so clear that you can look down through the water to the bottom, and it looks like that you're looking at rocks. But in fact, it's water down there, but it's so clear, you just don't know it's water. But it's maybe 30, 40, 50 feet deep, and you look right through this crystal clear water to the rocks underneath on the bottom of it, and you just, looks like I'm going to die if I... And then someone comes behind you, jumps off, and goes into the water. And so it's pretty nice to see clear water, but it reminds me how important clean water is for life. And here it's going to be judged. And it says in verse 12, "And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon." Again, third, not final, not complete judgment. This is partial. More judgment is coming, but a third, okay? And it says of the moon, "And third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise." These are miraculous things that occurred. When you find the mention made concerning when Christ died and then the sun was darkened, another miraculous event that occurred when he died. Similarly here, in the same vein, totally miraculous and pretty frightening for those people that see it. And then in verse 13 it says, "And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe! Woe! Woe!" Okay. Here it is here. Woe! 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 Ooi! 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 Sounds like, sooners. Ooi! 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 And these are the words in Greek for woe. Woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Now, this is an interesting part here. By reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to sound. Oh, okay. So here is an interesting innovation in the trumpets. You have the four trumpets, but then 5, 6, and 7 are woe trumpet judgments. And these are ones that you've got to be very careful with, because there's an intensification. You get the third. Yes, and here there's certainly partial judgment, but it's an intensification. And it says in chapter 9, verse 1, "And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit." The bottomless pit. Interesting, here it is here, abyssos. That is the bottomless pit. And it's used through the Bible in these places. And if you look at the first place where it's mentioned, let's have a look at that, because it is an interesting thing that occurs. So Luke chapter 8. And verse 27. "And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs." Wow, what a sight! Some naked guy in the tombs and he's devil-possessed. Man, can you imagine that? Walking by the tombs. Keep away from that place, man. And then verse 28. "When he saw Jesus, he cried out, fell down before him with a loud voice, said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High?" Hold the phone! The devils know who Jesus is, right? But these very smart little human intellects don't. But the devils do. They know who he is. "I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness." Man, this is just an incredible thing, isn't it? It says, "And he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands." So it's interesting how that these devils can strengthen even flesh and blood to do all kinds of things. And Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Legion," because many devils were entered into him. Many were in him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there an herd of many swine. So where it says into the deep, that's the pit, that's the bottomless pit. And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. He allowed it to happen. And then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. What a scene, man! Here you've got this naked guy messing around in the tombs, scary individual, and then these devils leave this guy and go into these pigs who, once they are possessed, go running down and into the sea and they die choking in the sea. Wow. So that's a pretty amazing place. Well, there it is, the abyss, the abyss. Verse 31, and it says, and they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. There is an abode which we find that these kind of spirits have a place. It's called the abyss. The devil is going to go in there. It's going to be kept in there. The Antichrist also, it's the beast. So this is kind of interesting. There's other places mentioned. It's also Romans 10:7, and then Revelation 9, as we've been reading. But let's have a look at Revelation 11 for a second here. Revelation chapter 11. It says this, and when they shall have finished, this is Revelation chapter number 11 and verse 7, and when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street. These are the two witnesses. So this is interesting. The beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit. It would seem, therefore, that the bottomless pit is not some abode for human beings. This is another one of these special places. And in this case, for the devils, for the beast, for the devil himself. Have a look at another passage. This is in Revelation 17 and verse number 8. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition, that's waste, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life. This is a part of the passage that we need to look at very carefully when we get here, about the book of life and the other book. We need to look at this carefully. Okay, and then there's another one, a look at Revelation 20. So the beast certainly comes out of there. Revelation 20 and verse 1, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up. Okay, so the bottomless pit certainly is involved with spirits, it's involved with the beast, involved with the devil. But there's nothing in the scriptures that say that human beings go there. Right? This is a separate place for these creatures. We call them creatures because they're created beings, so they're creatures. But they're not of the same order as human beings. Different. Different makeup. So their destiny and their future is different. Right? Because they're quite different beings. Okay, so Revelation in chapter number 9 says this. chapter 9, verse 1, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven into the earth, and him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. Now, I have no right to come out with some, you know, extra interpretation of this. I think it's best to simply say that this is going to happen in the way that it's said, and exactly the finite, exact appearance of these things and how it's going to happen will happen in the future. But we need to believe exactly what's said here. And it was commanded that they should not hurt the grass of the earth. Wait a minute. So again, this goes along with the trumpet judge. It's not quite complete. You know, just like in the same vein, there was a third. He says here, should not hurt the grass of the earth. See, they're limited. So the trumpet judgments, they are bad and the woes are worse, but they're still not complete. When you come to the vials, then you start to get some more completeness in this. And it says, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God on their foreheads. Okay, so here come some judgments, and they will come on those people who do not have the seal of God in them. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. Well, we don't know what the torment of a normal scorpion is that we notice today here in Oklahoma, because we managed to avoid them, although we have seen a few of them in the house around the edge of the house there, and I just put my boot on them. Crunch. Very crunchy things. But they don't look nice. Got these long tails, and they come up like... And one time I played with one of them because I just wanted to see what they'd do, so I got a pencil and I just tapped it, and you'd hear that sting on the back trying to hit the pencil. Whack, 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 you know. So I think the people that had the house before us, they must have laid a lot of poison around the edge around about the house, because just about every single scorpion we've come across has been kind of half dead, you know. It's not been quite vital. But I know some of you probably know more about this than we do, but I'm sure that scorpion sting, especially depending on what one it is, could be pretty nasty. The worst sting I've ever had came from some wasps. I did a very foolish thing when I was a child, in that I saw some wasps and they had made a nest under some rocks. And I thought, oh, well, let's have a look. And so I started peeling back the rocks. They all came out. They all came out and hit me in the face, and I got stings all over the face. And I just ran, and here behind me was a whole cloud of these things coming after me. Wow! And that was painful. Face blew up like a balloon. Okay. And so, yes, scorpions. We don't know what that would be like, but it must be pretty bad. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Oh, man, that's a terrible thing, isn't it? So bad, you want to die. You'd rather die. When I read that, the immediate thought came into my mind was 9/11. You remember that terrible scene where people were jumping from the buildings? You know? They knew they were going to die, but to stay here was just too painful. So it's better to just jump and die. You know, terrible thing, that. And sometimes there's no, I guess there's not even a thought to it. You're just in pain, you know, you're in pain here. So what do? You just go away from the pain, and to jump out the window is painless in one sense. And when you hit the ground, I guess it's an instant death. It's a terrible thing that happened. Do you remember where you were? This is a common question, isn't it? Do you remember where you were on 9/11? I can remember these things. Even in New Zealand, when it occurred in New Zealand, 9/11 came through the television sets. Just everyone knew. And everyone just stopped what they're doing and they hit the television set and watched. It was almost unbelievable. It was surreal. We thought this is just this is made up. This is made up. This is not happening. This is a Batman movie or, you know, this is just made up. Someone's having a big joke. This is just a made up story. And then it suddenly dawned on us, No, this is real. This is real. Unbelievable thing. Well, as bad as that was, this is going to be worse. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. I am just going to believe this like it is. Just like it is. These are supernatural creatures. And they're going to come around and they're going to do this sort of stuff. And they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. The sound of their wings were as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. Scary time. Well, we'll stop there. Some pretty amazing things that are going to come on this earth. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for this time as we read through here. And we can see some terrible judgments coming on the earth. We thank Thee, our Father, that we are saved, that we can look forward to a home in the heavenly places, that we have the blood of the Lamb applied to us, and that we have life not because of our good deeds, but rather through the full grace of God as the free gift. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.